Hi, this is Caitlin Connors, and welcome to the Live His Life podcast, where I'll be profiling successful professionals in the finance world. Hi, Mrs. Davidson. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Caitlin. My name is Heidi Davidson. I am the CEO and co-founder of a company called Galvanize Worldwide, which is the largest distributed network of marketing and communications professionals in the world, which is super exciting. We started it about 10 years ago, so I'm super excited to see where it's come.
What has been your experience with career exploration?
Yeah, I would say my career has not been a straight line. Coming out of high school, I thought that I would like to be a physical therapist. So I had interviewed and applied to all these schools that were the best physical therapy schools in the Northeast and got in. And before I even registered, I decided, you know what, that's not actually what I want to do. And so I switched, much to the dismay of my parents, probably, to marketing and communications, and the rest is history. I have an undergrad in communications and public relations with minors in marketing. And then from there, I worked in nonprofit organizations, in associations, the New York State Public Employees Federation, and the State Trial Lawyers Association. But then I felt like I really wanted to try my hand at high tech PR and the agency world. So I moved down the city to do PR, and I loved that. But then after that, I moved into corporate and worked at MasterCard for 11 years in a bunch of different roles. I took over as the head of communications at BlackBerry. And then when I was finished at BlackBerry, I wanted to try my hand starting my own business. And that's kind of career path that I've taken. And it had twists and turns along the way, but that's the track that I've been on. It's been a journey of looking at what I like, what I don't like, what gives me energy, what takes away my energy, am I good at? And so that's taken me here.
How has the education that you have received helped you on your path toward entrepreneurship?
That's a good question. After my undergrad, worked in agencies. I started my MBA. So I do have an MBA in marketing. And then I actually kept going. So I have a doctorate as well in marketing and management. And I think each work experience and each educational experience gives you a few different things. Of course, you're learning the practical skills that they expect you to learn, but I think it also gives you confidence. You're exploring, like in the MBA, you're exploring lots of different case studies for lots of different businesses. And so you are looking at something and pretty quickly deciding, does it need to be fixed? What needs to be built? What needs to be fixed? What needs to be changed? And you're building confidence in yourself about how to handle yourself in any situation. And then with the doctorate, I don't know that it is so much about what you learned as it is about the discipline of it and the process of it. I think it's probably similar for marathoners, right? That you can run the marathon, that you can get through it, that you can do what you need to do. It's an incredible amount of work and brain power and discipline to finish a dissertation. And so I think that says something about you too. But at each spot along the journey, it's been giving confidence in my ability to do the next thing. So in the MBA, I really learned a ton about business and finance and accounting and people management and what works and doesn't work in terms of business strategy. That's obviously lent itself to being the CEO of my business. In the doctoral program, it was a lot about networking and critical thinking and exploration. And when I was at MasterCard, one of the interesting things that they had was an on-the-job training program where you moved around every 18 months to 2 years. And I think now that I have kind of a consulting business at Galvanize, what's been interesting is that that experience at MasterCard, where I would move so quickly between functions, has really helped me be a good consultant, because at MasterCard, I would go to a business. I knew I only had 18 months, so I would have to very quickly assess what needed to be built or fixed there. And now that and those critical skills I've learned at the MBA and the doctorate level, I'm applying for clients in our client service business. So I feel like I'm picking up things all the time.
You mentioned this idea of gaining confidence. How has your gender impacted your career path?
That's a good question. I think it has. I have had, over the course of my career, some really phenomenal male champions. I have almost always worked in male-dominated areas, financial services, tech. I'm often the only woman. And I had a couple of really good mentors and champions who pushed me and said, kind of the lean in of the time, they would push me and say, you've got to have your opinion. You've got to back up your opinion with facts. So I think having champions and mentors has helped me. I do think that women can be, and I'm certainly in this boat, I will hang back. I will make sure that I am certain about something or really prepared or maybe overprepared. And I'm not sure that the men always think in the same way. And then as I've gone throughout my career, I've moved up and over pretty regularly in my corporate career, which has been helpful. But I also was very focused on making sure that all of the opportunities I had afforded me balance to be the kind of mom that I wanted to be too. And so I knew as I was leaving BlackBerry, I had traveled a ton. I had what we called a go bag in my office, like a little suitcase. I would run. We had our own jets at a local hangar, and I would fly our private jet to the next crisis. And I just knew that that felt crazy to me, and I was missing stuff with our kids. And so I knew that my next role, I would want it to be something where I could be more present and not miss a baseball game or a hockey game or a dance show or something like that. So for me, building Galvanize was really when it came into play. Then I was like, could I build a company where there was very limited overhead, where I could work on clients of my choosing with the very best people who are experts on their craft and bring those people together to work on clients, but to have good boundaries and work out in the morning, be there for the kids. And so that was really how Galvanize was born. There certainly are men who care about the balance too. We have some of those who work with us on Galvanize, but for the first time in my whole career, there are a lot more women that I am working with on the Galvanize business because they all were after the same thing, that holy grail of balance and being there for the kids and living a healthier lifestyle, not commuting into Manhattan and things like that.
You shared that you used to work in corporate and now you work more on the agency side. What does your everyday job look like, and what do you feel is the biggest difference between corporate and agency?
The thing that I love about marketing and communications, and we also do crisis communications, we do startup advisory work. The thing that I love about all of it, and I always have, is the variety, is that there is no day that is the same, which is fun for me. So I love being able to skim across the surface and work on different businesses in different industries in our portfolio. So you imagine like you're at a cocktail reception, you know a little bit about a lot of stuff. And I think that is fun. I feel like I'm always learning something new about an industry. So there is a lot of variety and no day is the same. But when I'm thinking about my day or maybe even my week, if I'm looking at my week as a whole picture, there is certainly a little bit of running of the business that I do. So it could be accounting and finance and some bookkeeping and invoicing and contracts, although I have someone now who supports that. But there is payroll, there's the running of the business. Most of the time is spent on client service. So that could be a strategy session with a startup or scale up founder who is looking for investment, and we help them with their storytelling for an investor roadshow. It could be working with one of our big clients on their full marketing strategy or a communications plan to announce a new product. And then on the crisis side, it could be I get a call in the morning that there is an athlete or an entertainer or a business executive who's been arrested overnight and needs some communication support. And it always keeps you on your toes and it always keeps you guessing. And I think it's just so much fun, which is what has fueled me all these years to be doing this. And then, oh, corporate versus agency. That's a good question too. It's very different. I've had lots of roles in a corporate environment. In that instance, you're working for one brand, say, usually, right? So if I'm at MasterCard, I'm working for one brand. I'm representing that one brand. I know that one brand's business strategy, team, tactical execution, all those things. When you're on the agency side, I would say it's a little bit different. On the pro side, you're not involved in the red tape and the hierarchy and all of that stuff of a corporation. So it's typically younger and a bit more fun and casual. And for the work, you're popping in and out of that client work, but you're not involved in their day-to-day business that they have to run. So on the agency side, the good thing is the variety, but the bad thing is you're not getting deep on any one piece of business. So it depends what you like. In our industry, I find that a lot of people kind of grow up through the agencies first and then go into the bigger corporate jobs, which traditionally will pay more.
How has your perception of the business world grown over time?
There are probably a million things, right? But I used to think as I was kind of coming, two things, I think, as I was coming up, I used to think that the path was a linear one up, that you always heard about how you climbed the corporate ladder. And I found that most paths are not straight up and down. They're windy. And when my biggest salary jumps have actually happened, it is because I've moved over first and then up. So as an example, I was a chief of staff for the president of North America for MasterCard. And then the law department had found out that I had done lobbying, like political lobbying earlier in my career. And so they said, you know, would you ever be interested in doing state government affairs for us? And I was like, you know what? I'd like to try that. Yeah. So they moved me over to run state government affairs. And I moved up and over. So I then was vice president, but I kind of moved over. So I had fewer people I was managing. Some people may have thought it was a step back, but I thought, okay, they're taking a chance on me. This isn't my specialty, but I have done it in my career. So they were testing me out. It motivated me. I worked my butt off and I very quickly made a good impression on the state government affairs side. And it became obvious that we needed global public policy, that it wasn't enough just to do government affairs in the States, but there were countries around the world that were making different credit card policies that were concerning for our business. So I made a proposal and pitched that I would run global public policy and they accepted it. And then I became a senior vice president and managed a team of people all over the world. And so that one sidestep, which really was only like a 6 or 7 month sidestep, moved me up another level with a bigger team. So that the not straight up and down kind of line is definitely one learning. I think the other learning, the big one I would say, is that you always kind of think, well, like I'm a junior employee and the people above me, the senior executives must know what they're doing, must have all the answers. And it's just not the case, right? They are also super busy. And so they're relying on the people around them to bring forth ideas, give them feedback, tell them why something perhaps doesn't make sense, or they may not have all the answers. They may appreciate the advice or help. So obviously you've got to pay attention to what the environment is, but I think it has been an observation for me. Don't be shy. Speak up, have an opinion, have the data to back it up, make the case, be direct, be a truth teller. And I think that's helped me in my career.
What is your ideal role?
I probably am in it now. I will tell you, yeah, I've had great roles. Let me say, first of all, I've had great roles. I loved that role at MasterCard where I was moving up and over every 18 months to 2 years and learning all the new things. My ideal role is definitely, and this is how I've built Galvanize, getting to work with really great people who are smart, who are fun, who like to laugh during the day, who aren't taking themselves too seriously. That really is my first and second, probably, working with great people. Then I think it's doing interesting things, doing interesting work, work that speaks to you. There are times where people will ask us to support them and their work at Galvanize. And we're not feeling it. We're not getting excited and energized about that piece of business and we'll pass on it because you're working so hard. You got to like the people you're working with and you got to like the work. And so I enjoy marketing because it's evolving all the time. It's interesting. You have to really stay up on all the trends, right? Because there's always something new happening in social media, some new platform coming, some new tactic that works. So for me, I've loved a lot of my roles, but this one that I'm in has been really fun because I'm running now my own thing. So I'm working really hard building my own thing versus working really hard to build someone else's thing. And I am selecting our people. I am selecting the clients that we're working on, how we work, our culture, and how we operate. Having the balance in my life is important to me too. So all of those things have really come together after all these years into the form of Galvanize.
Is there a role in business that you've heard of but have never experienced that you find interesting?
I always come up against things or people that I think that would have been fun to try. Through my career, I've had the opportunity to work with some really great HR people. And I always think like, oh, that would have been a good path to go on. Like human resources, human capital, working and coaching people in organizations through that. I think that would have been fun. One of the things I love the most about this marketing and communication space is the storytelling. So I always think, taking the brand storytelling in another place, being a someone in journalism or news who's really impartial because we don't have that so much anymore, or a documentarian or somebody who's making films that tell stories. I'm inquisitive. I'm a learner. I always am interested to hear the storytelling aspect of all sorts of things, business and otherwise. So who knows? I'm sure there are lots of things I would have loved to do, but I've sort of always been down this communications or marketing or public policy path. And now this entrepreneurial path, which has been fun.
Do you have any last pieces of advice that you would like to share?
I would say things that I have learned: be open to different opportunities. Try to say yes to things when you're able. But then also, if you have to say no to something, say you have a tough workload, you have to say no and explain why and really speak up for yourself and advocate for yourself. A lot of people, women in particular, will accept the things that are asked and just try to say yes all the time, or accept the first salary that's given in negotiation, say. And I think it's really important to stand up for yourself and negotiate. Again, I would say try to be open to moving sideways and expanding your skills or going out. Think about grad school. A lot of companies pay for it now. And I did it part-time while I was working. Think about your own boundaries, your own flexibility. What is important to you and how can you create a role that gets you there? It may not be possible in the first few years of your career, but as you start to progress, then you can say no to some things that are not going to afford you the same flexibility if that's something that's important to you. For me, I wanted to move up as quickly as I could before I had babies so that I was pretty senior and had a little bit more control over my schedule. So that's what's worked for me, but that may not work for everyone. So I think really assessing yourself often and just checking in with yourself and seeing A, what brings me energy, and B, what do I want? What's important to me? And hopefully you can find a role where those two things come together.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for joining me on the Lif is Life podcast. Catch the next episode where I'll be talking with another successful professional in finance.